He walked to the telephone on the wet bar and punched in a number from memory. There followed a brief exchange in Spanish, then Castillo held out the telephone to General Wilson. "Sir, my grandfather, Juan Fernando Castillo, generally referred to as Don Fernando, would like to speak with you." Wilson got quickly off the couch and walked to the wet bar. "He speaks English, right?" he asked softly. "It might be better if you spoke slowly, sir," Castillo said, and handed him the phone. "Oh, Jesus, Charlie," Miller said. "You have a dangerous sense of humor." "I remember," Captain Prentice said.
"Good afternoon, Mr. Castillo," General Wilson said, carefully pronouncing each syllable. "My name is Harold Wilson, and I had the privilege of serving with your son, Jorge."
There was a reply, which caused General Wilson to shake his head and flash Lieutenant Castillo a dirty look. Castillo smiled and poured more scotch into his glass. After a minute or so, Wilson handed Castillo the telephone, and there followed another conversation in Spanish. Finally, Castillo put the handset back in the base.
"Like father, like son, right, Castillo?" General Wilson said, smiling. "You like pulling people's chains? Your grandfather speaks English like a Harvard lawyer."
"I guess I shouldn't have done that, sir," Castillo said. "I have an awful problem resisting temptation."
"That, sir," Miller said, "is what is known as a monumental understatement. Your grandfather and grandmother are coming here tomorrow, I guess he told you," Wilson said. "I'm presuming he'll call you back with the details when he's made his reservations."
"He has a plane, sir. He said they'll leave right after breakfast. That should put them in here about noon. What I've got to do now is arrange permission for them to land at Cairns and get them someplace to stay. I think I can probably get them in here."
"They will stay in the VIP quarters," General Wilson said. "And I'll arrange for permission for his plane to land at Cairns. Or Tom will, right, Tom?"
"Yes, sir," Prentice said, then looked at Castillo as he took a notebook from his shirt pocket.
"What kind of plane is it?"
"A Learjet."
"Got the tail number?"
Prentice asked. Castillo gave it to him.
"Your grandfather has a Learjet?" General Wilson asked.
"Yes, sir. And until a year ago, when my grandmother made him stop, he used to fly it himself. My cousin Fernando will be flying it tomorrow."
"Your father painted a very colorful picture of his life as a wetback," Wilson said. "The benefits of a serape and sandals, how to make tortillas and refry beans. He said he played the trumpet in a mariachi band. And until just now, I believed every word."
"Sir, according to my grandfather, what my father did before he joined the Army, he was booted out of Texas A&M and was one step ahead of his draft board, was fly Sikorskis, the civilian version of the H-19, ferrying people and supplies to oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico."
"Can I get you another one of those, sir?"
Miller asked, nodding at the general's empty glass.
"Yes, please,"
General Wilson said.
"This time, put a little water and some ice in it, please."
"Yes, sir," Miller said. "General, may I ask a favor?" Castillo asked.
"Absolutely."
"Sir, I stood still for that picture because I was ordered to. My general is not a great believer in publicity. I don't know how he'll react when he sees that story, but I do know that he will. My grandfather is much the same way, sir. He doesn't like his name in the newspapers. Is there some way you can turn the IO off?"
Wilson nodded.
"Okay. He's off. I understand how you feel."
He paused and then smiled.
"I guess you really can't cast in bronze. Get the fuck out, Harry. Can you?"
"That might raise some eyebrows, sir," Castillo said.
"Anything else I can do for you?"
"No, sir, that's about it. Thank you."
"Who is your general, Charlie? You don't mind if I call you Charlie, do you?"
"Not at all, sir. General McNabb, sir. He's deputy commander of the Special Warfare Center at Bragg.
He was 3 years ahead of me at the point, Wilson said.
Interesting man.
Yes, sir, he is that.
May I use your telephone?
Yes, sir, of course, Castillo said.
As he walked to the wet bar, General Wilson said,
When there is more than one call to make, you should make the one to the most important person first. You may wish to write that down.
General Wilson appeared clearly pleased with his humor, causing Castillo to wonder, Is he a little plastered? On two drinks?
Yes, sir.
Castillo and Miller, both sounding confused, said almost in unison. The explanation came almost immediately.
Sweetheart, General Wilson said into the phone. Tom found him. We're with him right now in the Daleville Inn. Now, he doesn't look like his father, darling, but he has Jorge's sense of humor. So that means two things, baby. First, there will be two more for supper tonight, and Jorge's parents are coming in tomorrow.
Yes, really. Young Castillo called them just now. Can you do a really nice lunch for them? And dinner, too?
No, I thought they'd be more comfortable in the VIP house. We'll be there shortly.
Is Randy there?
General Wilson looked at Miller and asked, What's your class?
90, sir, Miller said.
General Wilson said into the receiver,
Tell Randy he'll have another classmate there tonight, Lieutenant H. Richard Miller, Jr.
Yeah, his son.
That's about it, sweetheart. We'll be over there shortly.
He put the receiver in its base and pointed to the telephone.
Your turn, Tom, he ordered. First call protocol and reserve one of the VIP houses for a Mr. and Mrs. Castillo for tomorrow night and the next night. If there's someone already in there, have them moved. And then call Cairns and clear Mr. Castillo's airplane to land there tomorrow.
Yes, sir, Captain Prentice said.
While he's doing that, General Wilson said, may I help myself to another little taste?
Yes, sir, of course, Miller said.
Castillo thought, he's getting plastered. Does he have a problem with the sauce?
Tonight, General Wilson said, my daughter's broiling steaks for her fiancé, Randolph Richardson, and some other of your classmates. I presume you know him?
Yes, sir, I know Lieutenant Richardson, Miller said.
Righteous Randolph, Castillo said, and shook his head. I somehow suspect that my announcement that you're about to get together with some of your classmates is not being met with the smiles of pleasure I anticipated.
Sir, with all respect, Castillo said carefully, I don't think our having supper with Lieutenant Richardson is a very good idea. Could we pass with thanks, sir?
I've already told my wife you're coming.
Yes, sir, I understand, Castillo said. Nevertheless, sir, I think it would be best if we did that some other time.
General Wilson stared at Castillo for a long moment. There was no longer a question in Castillo's mind that the general was feeling the drinks.
Okay, Wilson said. What happened between you?
Neither Castillo nor Miller replied.
That question is in the nature of an order, gentlemen, General Wilson said,
and now there was a cold tone in his voice.
A book fell off a shelf, sir, Miller said, striking Cadet First Sergeant Richardson on the face.
He alleged that his broken nose had actually been caused by Cadet Private Castillo having punched him. An inquiry was held. I was called as a witness and confirmed Cadet Private Castillo's version. Richardson then brought us before a court of honor.
For violating the honor code?
A cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those who do?
Yes, sir.
And?
We were acquitted, sir.
As a purely hypothetical question, why would a cadet private take a punch at a cadet first sergeant?
Neither replied.
Your turn, Castillo, General Wilson said.
Sir, in the hypothetical situation the general describes, I could imagine that a cadet private might lose his temper upon learning that a cadet first sergeant had gone to his tactical officer and reported his suspicions that a cadet lieutenant had arranged for a car to pick him up at the hotel fair with the intention of going to New York for the weekend.
Had the cadet lieutenant done so?
Yes, sir.
Who was he? A friend?
Me, sir. When my TAC officer called me on it, I admitted it, and he had no choice but to bust me, sir.
For just sneaking into the city on a weekend? I did that routinely.
I was on academic restriction at the time, sir, Castillo said.
Oh, God. You are your father's son, General Wilson said.
Sir?
We had a captain who had the unpleasant habit of grabbing the nearest soldier and having him clean his bird. I'm not talking about shining it up for an IG inspection. I'm talking about getting rid of the vomit and blood and excreta with which they were too often fouled. Your father told the captain that the next time he grabbed our crew chief to do his dirty work, he was going to shove him headfirst into a honey bucket. You know what a honey bucket is, presumably?
Yes, sir.
The captain did, and your father did. And the captain had him brought up on charges of assault upon a senior officer. The company commander, a wise senior major, just about told your father that if he would take an Article 15, he could expect no worse punishment than being restricted to the company area for 2 weeks. That was meaningless, actually, as we were in the boonies, and there was nowhere to go. Your father demanded trial by court-martial, and he exercised his right to defense counsel of his choice. Me. He could not be dissuaded from that, either. He told me when they put his accuser on the stand, I was to get into great detail about his shoving the captain's head in the honey bucket. I was convinced your father was going to go to the Long Bin stockade, but your dad was one of those natural leaders who are able to get people to do whatever they are asked to do, even if it sounds insane. I did what he asked. He stopped when Miller handed him his fresh drink. I'm not at all sure I need this, General Wilson said, but thank you.
And then he laughed.